Well, I feel like the Lord inspired me with some things this morning, and we'd sure like for Him to make it a blessing to us. Thinking about, I guess we've been thinking about brides and husbands and marriage and all those things. But I think this morning about what we wrote on the board was the bride of Christ. You know, sometimes we don't always realize how someone loves us. But there's a special love that the Lord gives and has for His people. He loves them. And I just want to look at a few scriptures here and think about this thought about what is the relationship between God and people, and what has He told us in His Word about it. In Isaiah 62:4, it starts giving us a little of His mind way back there, many hundreds of years before Christ. It says here, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." You know, this morning, the Lord sees us as His bride. There's going to be a marriage one day. And right now, we are in a state of espousal to the Lord, an engagement to Him. And there's going to be a time when the Lord comes back, when all of that is going to come to pass. And we're going to go into the presence of the Lord forever. And we're going to be there in a state that is wonderful. But I think about tonight, this morning, the Lord says that as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoiceth over thee. That word Hephzibah means my delight is in her. That's part of the meaning of that word. My delight is in her. You know, this morning, the Lord is looking at you and me with delight. He is delighting in His bride. We are, according to Scripture, the bride of Christ. We are preparing to meet Him. We are getting ready. I witnessed the last few weeks what comes prior to a wedding. Of course, it's not the first wedding we've witnessed that. But you witness what happens. Things begin to happen. People begin to get ready. I noticed Brother Billy began to get excited. Sister Julie did too. She began to prepare for that time. And she began to, everything in her life was geared toward that. And you know, this morning, Scripture tells us that we're the bride of Christ. We're supposed to be in a place where we're getting ready. We're looking for that day. And He's told us that He's going to come back and He's going to receive us unto Himself. That's going to be the marriage ceremony, if you will. In Revelation 21:9-11, it says here, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even to a jasper stone, clear as crystal." You know, this morning, we know that He said, come hither, come here. I want to show you something real special. I want to show you the Lamb's wife. Who's the Lamb this morning? Isn't the Lamb that was slain Christ? Isn't his bride those that he's coming back for to receive unto himself? Isn't this time that we're in a time of waiting? A time when the bride is supposed to be preparing? A time when she beautifies herself? When she gets ready for that time? You know, the Lord is looking for that time. And you read it through scriptures. There's quite a few scriptures about it, actually. And you see that he is preparing for that time. He is waiting for that time. He is doing something. We've been studying the last two or three Sundays about what the Lord did. He died for us. He rose from the grave. He went back to heaven. He's interceding for us. He sent back the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has things he's doing. He's not idle. But he said, and we'll read it in a minute, something that he is doing there. You know, it is our time of waiting. In Revelation 19 and 7, it says here, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." You know, it speaks over here in the 21st chapter about that great city. What is that city? It's the New Jerusalem, is it not? It's the handiwork of God. A lot of it's already in paradise waiting. And we find that the Lord's going to unite that back together, and we're going to be with the Lord then evermore. That's going to be the marriage time when we're no longer in paradise. We're actually with the Lord. We're in heaven. We're not in a waiting place anymore. And the Lord's looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to that, aren't we? But it says here that it had the glory of God upon it. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know, the glory of God is something that he gives to his bride. The glory of God is something that he has given for us. He gave his life for us. He purchased us, it says, by his own blood. And we find that the Lord has paid a high price for his people. He wants a pure bride. He wants a bride that he can take to heaven and she'll fit in right there. A bride that's been true. A bride that he really wants to, as we said already, he wants to put the glory of God in her. And that's you and me. He wants his glory. He wants his image to be in our life. And he wants there's several analogies that the Lord gives of the bride and of the church and all those things. But it says over in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, what we had just mentioned, he said that he had espoused. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he had found some fault there. He said, "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, the Lord's coming back for a bride that's been kept, that's clean, that's washed in his blood that he shed for this bride. And I want to read over in John 14 and 1 to 3, kind of get the full picture here of what the Lord is doing before we go on. It says, John 14 and 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, the Lord told us something very special here. He said, "I'm going away to prepare for a marriage." That's what he was meaning. I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. And so the Lord is preparing this. He has had something he's doing. He has been looking on you and me with eyes of love. You know, this morning, I wonder how many of us really feel the gaze of the Lord's eyes of love. I wonder if we really realize how much and how excited he is about his people. That he sees us, he sees our lives, and how much he wants to come back and receive us unto himself. He paid a great price for it. And he has given a lot for this thing. And so he wants to come back for his bride. He doesn't want to come back for an unclean bride or one that's been unfaithful to him. You know, the scripture we read about espousing you to one husband, espousal is a time of engagement. Now, today we just think of engagement. It's a lot less binding. But in this time, the time of espousal, they already called them husband and wife when they were espoused. You had to be divorced before even that the marriage was consummated and brought to pass. You had to be divorced to get out of that kind of an engagement. It was an espousal. Paul said, I have espoused you to Christ. I have brought you to a place. I preached the gospel unto you. You've been washed. You've become one of his bride. And the Lord's coming back for this holy and pure bride one day. And so the Lord himself said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in me, believe also in God. One of these days, folks, our troubles are going to seem as nothing. The song says that the trouble, let's see, how does it say it? The toils of the road will seem as nothing when we get to the end of the way. You know, the Lord wants us to be reminded of that. Folks, the toils of the road sometimes here get a little bit long, don't they? Sometimes we need rest and we don't get it. Sometimes we just need a break. And sometimes we have to keep on pushing in this life. But you know what Jesus said? Don't let your heart be troubled. Keep in mind, I'm coming back to get you. It's going to be worth the trouble. It's going to be worth what you go through. It's going to be worth the toils of the road. They're going to seem as nothing. Because when we get married, I'm going to take you where I am. And the Lord's went to prepare a place for us. The best description the Lord could give us that our minds could comprehend is, he said the streets were going to be as of gold. I personally don't believe there's going to be any cheap gold in heaven. I think that's the best thing our minds can comprehend. But there's going to be something that's a whole lot better than that, I believe, in the spiritual realm. And the Lord's going to have something for us that if we can get our eyes fixed on those things, folks, I want to go there. Sometimes I like to stop and think, I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what it's going to be like. Been living my life all ever since I was a teenager. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to make it in. Don't want anything to stop that. I wonder what it's going to be like when we step over that threshold. I wonder what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back for the marriage and we're prepared and we're ready for the wedding, and it's time. It's something for us to think about, isn't it, this morning? Lord, help us to be in a time of preparing right now. if we look at the toils of the road and focus only on those, it'll be too much for us. And that's why the Lord told us, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back and there's going to be a marriage. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Your mind can't even comprehend it. So I'm going to tell you the best terms I know. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be, and he gave us the best illustrations that our minds could take in. Because our minds don't take in what's going to be in heaven. Our minds aren't made for that. We couldn't take it in if he did tell us. And so he gave us the best he could in words. In Matthew 25, it says, verse 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps." These were girls that kept themselves. These were ones that were pure, were clean. And it says, "They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" You know, that's going to be a day, isn't it? The Lord's telling us a little about what it's going to be like. He's told us we don't know the day nor the hour. So he said, "You be ready." You know, now the wedding yesterday, they knew the day, they knew the hour, they knew all those things. And so there was preparations being made. There was all kinds of thinking through everything that had to do with it, making sure everything's ready. We're ready for this. There was a lot of work put into that. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be ready when he comes back too. And it says, "At midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" You know, this morning, the Lord is coming back for a bride that is prepared and ready for him. I want to challenge us today that whether we understand all the workings, whether we understand all that God has said about what's going to happen, we know one thing. He's coming back. He's coming back for a bride that's prepared for him. And so let's prepare for him. Let's get our lives. These were virgins, it says, but they were more than that. They kept themselves from the world. They kept themselves from following after an adulterous relationship, looking after the things all around them, going in ways that were unrighteous. They kept themselves. You know, this morning the Lord is wanting us to keep ourselves. And he said even more than just being clean. He said that they had oil in their lamps. The wise did. You know, the Lord wants to keep something down here in our hearts. He wants us to have something that's alive. Do we realize that it's coming? Do we realize that the Lord has went away and he's prepared a glorious place for us? He's left us with his grace. He's left us with his strength. He's left us with the glory and splendor of God that he wants us to have in our lives. And he says, be ready. He said, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We don't know when he's going to come, folks, but we know he's coming back. Is our life in such a way that we're ready right now? Can you say, "I'm ready right now? Come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready for you." He said he's coming in an hour that you think not. We don't know when he's going to come, but we know this. He's coming back for a prepared bride. And those that were foolish, they let the Lord slip out of their heart. They let the love of God slip out of their heart. Maybe they replaced it with something else. Maybe they loved something of this world. Maybe they just let things creep in. And so when he suddenly came back, they weren't ready. And he said, and so they knocked. "Let us in." They went to buy oil, but it was too late. You know, this morning, Oh, how the Lord wants us all to be ready. Let's ready our lives. Let's keep ourselves from the world. You ever thought about what it's gonna mean to be ready on that day? Now, sometimes, people, while the waiting occurs, during this waiting time, it talks about this in different language in different places in the Bible. And it says some of them began to smite each other and they began to do all of these things during that waiting time. But you know, it's during that waiting time that it's a little dangerous. We have to keep our focus that we are preparing for a day. We're preparing for a time when the Lord's going to come back. He's going to come back to receive a clean bride. Is our heart clean this morning? Are you ready before the Lord this morning? Is there oil in your heart? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you prepared yourself for the time? Because we don't know when He's coming back. We just know He said, I'm coming back. And He said, it's going to be when you don't think it's going to be. It's going to be when you think, oh, it's not going to happen right now. And that's what a lot of us think right now, isn't it? Not going to happen right now. Probably won't happen for a while. We don't know that. This morning, let's be prepared as a bride is for her husband, as a bride is for the bridegroom when he comes back or when he comes to receive her. You know, I noticed this bridegroom yesterday worked real hard, got a house already. And I remember about a week ago, remember him testifying on Wednesday night? It's all ready. It's ready. I'm ready to get my bride. And yesterday he did that. We knew the day and the hour. You know what? The Lord's doing that too. I don't know when he's going to say, it's all ready. It's all ready. I'm going to come get my bride. But he's going to do that this morning. And I will tell you what I want in my life. I want to be ready. I want to be all through my life. Not just one time. I don't want to make a trip to the altar and think that's okay. I want to live for God. Young folks, plant your feet on a rock. I want to be ready. I want to live my life in such a way that when he comes back, I'm ready. I know we already said and mentioned and talked about how Julie was getting ready, how the bride was working at all these things. Folks, we're going to have to do that. It's not a one-time thing. It's a way we live. It's the bride. The Lord said, come and see. Hey, you want to see the bride? Come hither. I'll show you the bride. It's shining with the glory of God. It has a reflection of the love of God in our hearts. Has a reflection of His will in our hearts. And He says, there's my bride. He said he saw it coming down from God out of heaven. This morning, I believe the Lord wants to inspire our hearts that all through our lives that we are going to live as a bride ready for the hour. That means there's things has to be in place. That means we're not flirting with the world. That means our life isn't filled up with things that condemns our conscience and our heart. That means we know we have to. If it was tomorrow, what would we be doing? What would we be changing? Would we be changing anything? Or would we be saying, come Lord Jesus? Surely tomorrow is the day. Or would we be scrambling to get rid of things? Would we be scrambling to unload things out of our heart? Would we be scrambling to say, oh, I don't know about this one. I'm not sure I'm ready this morning. You know, the Lord wants us to be ready. He wants us to live ready. The bride, anticipation. And you know something else about it? When you are ready, you can anticipate that day. You can look at it. You can think about it. You can wish for that day. You can wait for that day. And when you face death, you don't have to falter in it because you're waiting for that day. That's the very day you've been waiting for. And it changes the picture. It really does. So this morning, I just want to challenge all of us to be ready. 1 John 3 and 1 to 3. The Lord has bestowed love upon us. Therefore, we follow him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, you know, Scripture uses a lot of different terminologies to describe the bride. And he says here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We're part of his bride. We're those that he's cleansed and made whole. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Folks, the world's not going to know us. They're not going to always like us. They're not going to say we're the smartest, best. We got it all together. They may make fun of us. They may not recognize what we have, and they won't. But he said here, the world didn't know Christ either. Here he was right in their midst doing miracles and all of these things. What did they do? They put him to death. That's what they did. Do we expect any different? Do we think in order for everything to be right, surely the world must think we're really cool people? We've got it together. The world's not going to think that. They might admire some things about us, but they're not going to think that. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's what we're talking about this morning. We keep our lives in such a way that we can meet the Lord. Purifieth himself. Can we do it on our own? No, but we see that it's done. We work at it with the Lord. We take his grace to help us to be pure. Even as he is pure, it says. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He's coming back for a chaste and a pure bride. Ephesians 5, we read this yesterday, so I'll just kind of spend a little bit of time here, maybe, not much, but Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, you know, I believe that the Lord, in all the things he made, the one thing he put the most perfection in was the marriage. It's supposed to be that way, and it can be, if we die to ourselves and take his ways. But you know, he likens it to his love for the church. He likens it to the relationship between God and the church. And he says here, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior. Where was I? Let's see. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. There's going to be a marriage, and he's going to present this body, bride of Christ, to himself at that day. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, folks, I'll go on here. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I want to ask us this morning, do we really believe that it's just the blood of Christ that does that? That we live unholy, but God's looking at his blood. I think there's something more here. He said he's coming back for a bride that he said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now, what's that talking about? You mean there's not going to be any faults in anybody? I will tell you what I believe. There's not going to be any sin there. There's not going to be any black spots on the dress. There's not going to be any of that kind of thing. The Lord's going to be looking for a people that he comes back for that is spotless. He is. And he's made that possible. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By his very word, he washes and cleanses us. He uses water as an illustration. And so the Lord sees us and he's preparing us. And he's making us ready for the marriage. We could read on down there. But he says on down in verse 32, he said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." You know, the Lord is telling us some things here about marriage. But he said, this whole thing, this is a great mystery what I'm saying, but I'm really speaking concerning Christ and the church. And so when he tells us to be, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, a splendorous church, a church that has the glory of God upon it, hearts made pure that reflect the glory of God. Lord, help us each one that we can keep ourselves for him. That day's coming. All right. So we see that this bride keeps itself. And I just want to encourage all of us, keep yourself. Keep yourself from the world, from the influences of the world that will take us away from God. Keep yourself from sin. Keep yourself from spiritual adultery, where we fellowship wrong and we accept and work with that. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be clean. He's coming back for a clean bride. We don't want to commit adultery against the Lord. Keep ourselves. Romans 8 and 35. There's a little double thought in all of this, I know. But I'm thinking about really the love that Christ has for his bride. Folks, he's coming back for us. Romans 8 and 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" What's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Have you fallen in love with the Lord? Have you found his love yet? I want to encourage us today. Step back. Step back a little. Lord, I don't want to miss any part of your love. You love me this much. Now, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of things too, folks. I don't think we're going through anything he didn't go through. And you know what he said? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? He felt it. He had it. He had a connection there with the Lord of love that wasn't going to be separated by famine or tribulation or distress or peril or sword. And Paul had all of that. He had all that to face. They tried to kill him how many times? Perils? Tried to threw rocks at him, wanting to stone him to death. Is this going to separate me? Uh-uh. I'm the bride. The Lord's got me in his hands. I'm going to meet him one day in peace. Paul kept his eyes on that. Folks, let's keep our eyes on that this morning. Let's keep our eyes on the fact that we're going to meet the Lord. One of these days, it's going to be our day. And we're going to get to go see what everybody tries to say about what's going to be in heaven, if we're ready. We're going to get to go see that. And everybody, I've heard people say with assurance, they feel like it's going to be this way and that way. I don't know how it's going to be. But I'm persuaded of one thing. My little mind can't take it all in. So I'm not going to try to figure it all out. But I know it's going to be good. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, fears, I don't care what it is, he says, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just want to encourage us this morning to fall in love with the Lord. Let His love be in our hearts. Get in our hearts the Lord. We're going to have a marriage one day. I'm a spouse to Him. And so I want to keep myself. I want to be ready for Him when He comes back. You know, there's a lot of different things the Scriptures say. Ephesians 2 has a little scripture or two in there, starting at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, there's a love relationship going on right now between God's people and Him, between Christ and His people. It's not, there's an element of fear in departing from the Lord. But I want to tell you what there really is. There's a love relationship that God wants you to be a part of. And so when we see that, we don't want to look at, I think many times people don't realize how much the Lord loves us. The love of Christ constraineth us, one scripture says. The love of Christ and the love that He has for us, and the things, the prices that He has paid for us, the things that He has made. You know, He made this whole world for us. He didn't make it for Himself. He made it for us. And so all these things show the elements of love that He has made. You know, we live in all kinds of situations. Sometimes people live in very negative situations. Where is the love of God there? I want to tell you where it is. It's in here. The Lord wants to put love in our hearts. He wants to put the element of the reflection of Christ in our hearts. He wants our hearts to become more and more full of His graces and His peace through the years. And He wants it to be that way. It flows over in our home. It flows over in our life. If we allow it to. If we let the Lord do those things. You know, in Song of Solomon 2, it says here, I'm the rose of Sharon. We have a song about that, don't we? Oh, sweet rose of Sharon. You know what? You know who that's talking about? I've heard this mentioned as a representative of Christ. That sweet rose of Sharon. And where does it bloom? Many times in the valleys, doesn't it? Where does it bloom? Oh, the Lord wants to bloom in our life. Oh, He wants this relationship not to be one where, oh, surely I must be ready for that day. He's coming back and I'm afraid. The Lord wants a love relationship. He wants us to be saying, He's coming back, and I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait because every day of my life is set for that. That's what it's about. That's what my life's about. Is that what our life's about this morning? You know what? The Lord wants it to be that way. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Folks, this morning, that's the story of God and of Christ from the very first day. It's a story of love. His banner over me was love. Do you know the Lord wants to put a banner over your heart and over your life of love? And He wants to fill your heart with His love. And when He comes back, He wants us to be able to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm looking for that day. Oh, this morning, just want to encourage us to enter in. I rejoiced through these thoughts. I don't feel like I've done a real good job at presenting them like they came to me. But I will tell you, that love that of Christ that constrains us, that story of love where His banner over us is love, it's real. It's not something people just talk about. It's something the Lord wants to put in our heart and life. He wants us, while we are waiting, not to be smiting one another, not to be arguing with whoever's around us, not to be in a state of turmoil and issues in our heart, but He wants us to be in a state of anticipation, a state where the Lord is my Lord. My love is coming back to receive me. You know, the Lord wants us to see it that way. And so we are preparing. And so we spend time with Him. And so we take a little time. Do we have to pray? Or do we pray? Take enough time with the Lord. Take enough out of our life to whet that relationship. Lord, I want You to have love in my heart. I want it to be a kind of place where I can be looking forward to the day that I see You come through the clouds to receive Your bride. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank the Lord this morning.